Welcome to the fifth edition of the Uplink, part of the Startup Newsletter. This is kind of a small podcast slash interview section that we do. I am the community manager, Schism Navigator, and with me today are two members of the Sins of the Mod team, Sins of the Prophets. Do you introduce yourselves?
Hello, I'm Idio, playtest lead for Sins of the Prophets. I do a whole bunch of stuff, including yelling at playtests a lot.
He's rather good at that. I'm Cole. I'm one of the design leads on the project. I've been working with the game's programming and particle effect systems for around 5 years now.
Welcome, welcome. Today, I thought we'd talk a bit about what you guys have been doing, or as you mentioned just previously, where the hell is everything? But, because it's been a while since we've seen an update from you guys, but I know that a lot of things have been going on behind the scenes. We actually, for the first, I think it was the first edition of the Uplink, where she had Sunday Deco on, who's been also been helping you guys a bit, I know.
Yeah.
But the first predefined question we have here, before we get to the more make it up as you go along section, is who are you and tell us a little about yourself. So who wants to go first?
Cole, go on.
Again, hi, I'm Cole. I've been with the project for, like I said, about 5 years. I am currently just a college student in the United States. I'm working towards a computer science degree that's I actually credit a lot to this project towards inspiring me to head this direction. For my tenure on the project, we've just been hammering out and figuring out the real, like, core aspects of bringing Halo into the RTS space genre.
Nice.
And how did you actually kind of start with modding in general, or with specifically with modding since Solar Empire? Because I don't think this is your first project, is it?
Is it? Actually, it is.
Oh, it is. I know that you work in other ones as well, though, so which is maybe wondering, like.
I have helped out Sins of a Galactic Empire a little bit here and there, but as far as actually saying I'd be part of the staff, this has been the only place I've been.
And today I learned something.
He's a fledgling of the modern community.
What would you say? What would you say is the main thing you do the most of, and like, because there's different skills and disciplines which go into, of course, doing all these different things. What would you say is kind of your wheelhouse?
That's really tough, as I kind of bounce around a lot. If I had to say that I stick in to one particular area, it would just be just to the programming of things. Like, I venture out quite a bit, but that's where I started here, and that's where the seat is most worn, I suppose, to put it in a way.
Right.
He's definitely a jack of all trades, though. Cole's been doing stuff for SOTP. I mean, you've been doing stuff all across different broad horizons, like promotional art, particle effects, coding. I mean, you know, Cole's awesome.
Well, I thank you. You have done plenty yourself.
Oh, I thought we were going to get to the section where everyone starts insulting Idio. So, Idio,
yay!
Tell us about yourself and how you started and what your wheelhouse is.
Well, I started with SOTP 4 years ago, I'd like to say. I came on as just a baby playtester. I had prior experiences with, you know, professional playtester doing, you know, different games in the industry. You know, just professional playtesting. It's kind of fun. Not really. Don't ever go into playtesting.
Doing the same thing over and over again.
I really like jumping in the same spot 1,000 times. And then the game crashes inexplicably. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I came on as a playtester and, you know, kind of eventually took over the lead position as playtester. I do a whole bunch of stuff. I yell at people, mostly. And that's really the core of what I do. I yell. I get angry at playtesters. They get angry at me. It's a loving relationship.
Very nurturing.
It really goes back and forth.
You've done a lot in helping out, prepping like articles and stuff, though. You've hopped around a bit quite a lot, like me.
I started actually way back in the day, Halo Custom Edition. I used to do small stuff on there, so I've been modding kind of back and forth. Every game I've played, go on and I try to mod it. It's fun stuff, you know. Creativity without any real expectations. It's, you know, pure creation. That's what
pure
I love.
Pure creation. Okay. So with that in mind, I'd like you to tell us a little about the mod itself, since the Prophet, what it's about, what the goals are, how it, like, from your memory at least, like kind of the early history and then the, I guess, middle history and now present day, like where things are also going as well, as much as you feel you could comfortably divulge to us. So who wants to take the lead on that?
I can't say for the ancient history, but I'll say that I joined probably around the mid-history. Back when I came on, we were just kind of still getting the wind under our sails. Still had a lot of ambition carried over, but we were just kind of getting the first balance worked out, kind of like just, hey, this is how we want stuff to die on screen for the player. Let's try to accomplish that using balance. About three rebalances later, here we are. There is a ton of stuff there. Artists rebuilt a lot of the visuals of things. I chipped in a bit there with rebuilding our particles. Just the transition from then to now has just been kind of like, we had a good idea built then, was moving to now. That's just kind of been the real crux of it all, adding in new interesting stuff. Idio, if you want to throw anything in there.
Yeah, you know, SOTP, Sins of the Prophets in general, is an ancient mod. Most people might not realize this, but SOTP started with a guy called Canada Man, and he started this project so far back. Sins was a fledgling game. It had just been released. You know, people had just started getting into modding it, and this dude started, you know, his little, he wanted to put Halo in Sins. A great ambitious goal. It's now 10 years later. It's still being worked on. You know, Canada Man kind of stepped away a few years ago. Unikraken kind of usurped this man and kind of brought SOTP to the fruition to where it is now.
You make it sound like it's a massive battle between Canada's premier superhero character, Canada Man, and this villainous character called Unikraken. It has mastery over the Kraken.
Listen, from the beginning of time, there's been a battle between two individuals. Okay, Unikraken and Canada Man. These are two ancient, powerful creatures. All right, this is mystical. They've been going back and forth now.
This is world building 101.
Listen, there's been a lot of world building with these two. Do not want to see the fan art.
No, no.
The fan art exists.
Don't
please.
But no, Canada Man, you know, he started it way back in the day and it's just continued to evolve. You know, the team's been great about iteration. SOTP has always been about putting Halo in the Sins and doing it realistic to the lore, but also making it fun to play. So it's, you know, that total conversion aspect of, you know, modding Sins and putting a whole bunch of cool stuff into it. And you know, that's the ancient history of SOTP. I came on about, you know, I think it was a year or two after Cole had come on, so it was like
there was
a lot more progress. it was a slow roll for sure, but there's definitely been a lot.
Yeah, and I'm also aware that it cost for a long time. It's actually been focused upon just two factions, which is a bit unusual, really, for a Sins mod. Most mods tend to try to go for the minimum of three, if not more.
Soge with tons and tons of fashion.
Well, I mean, in general, I mean, even like the to point out another contemporary, really mod, I guess, would be the Dawn of the Reapers, which has at the moment 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 factions, I believe, in it. which SOTP is kind of I think unique in that having for a long time focused on just two factions, but I believe you actually are thinking of changing that up soon. Can you say anything about that?
In a sense. Things we've been working on lately has been just introducing sub-factions just with our own kind of twist. I imagine everyone who's listening is at least somewhat familiar with Vanilla and how it has the two sub-factions for each overarching faction. We are kind of doing something similar. We have three for each two, and instead of them being just overarching like these are the rebels, these are the loyalists, the path we opted to take was having you be able to pick certain leaders. We kind of came to that idea out of Halo's own RTS genre, or sub-franchise Halo Wars, and the less well-known but no less enjoyable fleet battles from Spartan Games. May they rest in peace. So, as of late, it's just been kind of like we want to get more stuff into the players' hands. How can we do that? Because a big problem for a while was we have had overlap. Just like we want to fit in all the ships we can, but these ships do the exact same thing. What do we do? So earlier this year, when this came about, it just kind of evolved into a way to fit as much content that you might expect out of like one of the bigger Sins mods with more factions in it into something more R factionally sized. That was phrased horribly. Fit the content of multiple factions into two. There, that's how I'll say that.
Yeah. And it allows us to do really diverse play styles for UNSC and Covenant. We can kind of diverge play styles into each leader, like sub leader in each faction. And we do still have plans for other factions in the future. I know if you've been following SOTP for a long time, you know we've had plans for a third major faction. And that's still planned, but in the meantime, we're working on this leader system, among many other changes. But this leader system is adding a lot of diversity to the gameplay. So
I believe that's the coordination you're planning on.
Yes, absolutely. We're adding, obviously, grunts, playable grunt faction.
Right after the Yonhei Trade Federation.
Yep, mm-hmm. That one, we teased it earlier in the year now.
So, I'd probably also point out like those ideas that like having commanders as opposed to like entire different factions. Is used a few times. What comes to my mind especially is like Code of Heroes, where they have a very developed system for like having multiple commanders, which gives you unique abilities and unique units depending on what you pick. So it's that kind of aim you're going for.
Company Heroes, Steel Division more recently, Halo Wars, that type of stuff. Those were the kind of like core games that we were kind of looking at originally for inspiration for how to do this leader faction split, like initially. We've kind of divulged from those and kind of, you know, added an additional impact to the systems as well. So it's like, you know, when you choose a leader, you're going to be choosing like it's done in game through the research screen, so you could do it mid match. And the way it works is essentially you choose that leader, it comes with additional benefits. There's no downsides to choosing a leader. We don't want to punish players for making a choice. But you get additional ships, additional abilities, you know, additional faction buffs. So we want to be able to reinforce players the way they want to play. And it adds, you know, replayability to matches. Not every match is going to be the same. And the more players you throw into a game, the more crazy it can get.
For me, I think the exploration of having leaders and, like, hero units is one of the more innovative things that mods have been exploring with Sins, something which I personally would like us to do, have a leader solution for that, but that's up to me, like, when if that ever gets done. But that's like one of the more like obvious Sins that can be expanded upon.
There is a hero system plan, And
yes,
we would like for it to come out kind of, you know, sooner.
We'll see. We'll see.
We're working on it.
So,
bespoke assets and everything.
So, moving on to the next question, guys. What is your all-time favorite spaceship design and why? And for this question, you can answer separately for best for your favorite Halo design ship and your favorite, like, non-Halo design ship, if you want.
All right. So, for Halo, I would have to go with the Halcyon. The opening scene in Halo 1 is the Pillar of Autumn. It's a Halcyon. And it's iconic.
You gotta
start with that.
You gotta use the full name of it. It's a Halcyon class light cruiser.
Oh, Halcyon. Ooh. Light cruiser. Halcyon class light cruiser. Pillar of Autumn.
Which
whole
is
thing.
Which is a bit ironic because ship. I remember that the design of that ship is meant to be like really durable, like because the vehicle's
yes.
design.
It's not light by any means.
It's called light cruiser. It's like it's
definitely not. Halo's got a lot of oxymorons in there. I don't know.
It's probably the light because there's only one mat gun. That's why it's like only a light cruiser.
No, the Halcyon's a great, just great design. There's a lot of other Halo ships that are great, but the Halcyon's iconic. And then, if I have to go with a non-Halo ship, the space battleship Yamato.
Oh.
It's whack. It's a space battleship. It's not.
It's technically just a normal World War II battleship that was retrofitted to be a space battleship, though.
It's just outrageous.
It's not just a battleship. It's a carrier because it has fighters. Like it makes no sense. It's just like it's everything at once.
It just ceased the existence of everything that they shoot at. It's great. It's outrageous. Old school Japanese anime. It did some of the most crazy things, and Yamato is one of the more insane ones. And I love that design.
I like how the battle cruiser for the Terrans and StarCraft is its main cannon is called a Yamato cannon.
Yes, it's a nice callback. Nice little nod.
I wish it was as powerful though.
Oh,
just destroys off the map. Okay, Cole, it's your turn.
Okay, I really still cannot pick a favorite. But if I had to say one ship just kind of stands out, it's going to be the foil to Ideo's Pillar of Autumn, and that's going to be the purple monster you board in Halo 1, which is the CCS class or the Truth and Reconciliation. It's always kind of stood out to me as you go aboard this big elevator of pure glowy magic. And suddenly you're in this really clean and cold and purple, depressingly purple.
Very purple.
spaceship. And you're like, whoa, this is cool. This isn't like what we build. I like this. I want to stay here. And then people start shooting at you and you really want to leave. But you can't. So the CCS stands out to me for a lot of lore reasons. But they would take me probably like an hour to explain and take up a whole podcast of their own, so I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'll just say the CCS really stands out to me as it's just so staple. It's very unique starship design, but very, I don't know how practical you can say an alien spaceship looks, but if I had to say it does, I guess. I don't know. That's why it stood out to me for so long. But outside of Halo, I will be basic and just say I like my Star Destroyers.
Yeah.
The Imperial kind, of course. None of that Venator trash. Get that out of my face.
Whoa, and hating on the prequels.
No, wait, I take it back. No, just ISDs, that they're the exact opposite of the curved perfection of the CCS, so maybe that's why I gravitate them. Little triangles of doom.
Angry triangles.
Yes.
Very angry triangles.
Let the hate flow through you.
Similar to what Hideo mentioned with the Halcyon, is that the first real ship you see, like ship really, in Star Wars is an ISD. I mean, you tend to see the Corvette before, but who cares about Corvette? It's
I don't.
But the actual like first like proper like battle like warship you see is a Imperial Star Destroyer, and it presents of course the Empire's utter evilness and long arm of the space law, I guess.
I think I really like both just because they're such staples of the factions they represent. Like, you cannot name a more iconic Star Wars ship outside of the Falcon and
X-Wing. Technically, the Death Star is a ship, and it's more iconic. it's just a moon. It's just a big circle thing with a dish on it.
It's a moon.
It's just a moon. Starkiller base here.
Someone's really mad you didn't mention the Ebony Hawk.
Oh.
You know that's true.
They will be.
Poor Ebony Hawk. Yeah. Okay. I think I mentioned before that I think a few episodes ago my pick for best spaceship, best girl is has to be the Normandy SR2.
Yeah. It's a good one.
I don't even know Mass Effect. I like that ship. Sorry.
The Normandy is basically the second Normandy that gets built. It's larger than the first one. What's cool about that ship is that it's the right size to be like a hero ship, like the Millennium Falcon or like the Serenity. But because it's in a game world, you get really familiar with it, how it works, and where everyone lives and works and everything else, etc. And it's designed to be a very smart vessel. So like the whole point of it is that it has this huge core because it's meant to be stealth. And it doesn't go stealth like the kind of the stereotype of like a cloak and field or something. It actually like just keeps all the heat inside of it. So the vastness of space means that it can keep a low profile and not be detected until it goes loud, basically.
I always love the lore that the writers for Mass Effect put into the world building of like the ship. In Mass Effect, was it one or two? I think after certain missions, you could walk around the ship and look at certain things and pull a codec log for you, and you could read a little bit more about the ship and what it's doing. I always loved it. Your world building was second to none.
In addition, one thing I really liked about the lore behind that ship as well is the reason it's called Normandy is that I think it's frigate class. Yes, or destroyed. No, frigate class. Mm-hmm. They're all named after battles in human history. But the first Normandy was built as a cooperation with Turians, and it was meant to be part of this kind of like venture of like showing the council races that humanity is actually like, you know, who we are. And so they named it after one of the most important battles in human history that also like represents that kind of like the idea of like fighting literal fascism, really, you know, in the case of liberating France, etc. So the name of the Normandy, and that's why the idea is that that represents humanity. I always like that about it. In Halo, though, I may as well do this as well to be like specific to Halo for the sake of this argument.
What you gonna do?
Difficult. It is difficult.
The CRS is not an option.
No, it's just a downscaled CCS. It's like, what were you doing?
Ooh, it's very difficult. I mean, the Halcyon class is great, but I don't know whether I should. You know what? I'm gonna pick Spirit of Fire. I'm gonna pick the Phoenix class.
Based.
Phoenix class is good. Yeah.
An excellent choice.
It's got a really cool design, and the specific history of that ship, of course, is awesome because the whole point of it being a colony ship originally, then retrofitted to become a troop transport ship, basically.
I think it's nice that the Phoenix, it appeared in, like, you know, the throwback to Halo's original origins of originally before first-person shooter being a strategy game. You know, it's one of the most iconic ship designs.
Also definitely, like, what I also like about it is that it harkens back to the history in human history of taking civilian ships, really, and making them warships. For example, quite famously and sadly, there's one of the sister ships of the Titanic, the Britannica, was converted to a hospital ship during World War One and was sunk, which is so sad. But you know that's the thing which happened all the time is they take civilian ships and convert them to warships. Sometimes also some deliberately intentional, like we can turn this to a warship later. Bismarck was originally at least commissioned as a liner, but then was turned to a battleship, etc. Like this happened all the time, and so similarly, like taking a colony ship and then converting that to a warship. I think it's the only example that I'm at least big example I'm aware of in the Halo lore where that happens, and that's a very real military thing to do. Like any ship they can use, like convert into a warship.
The original Paris design, I believe, was also based off of another colony ship, but I think that's more like a weird, like Bungie was doing like art throwbacks because they were working on Reach.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it appears in I would like to say
Legends,
yeah.
Legends Origins.
It's weird. The company that was working in Origins was probably like, oh, well, we have this ship asset. Let's just redesign a little bit. It's now a colony ship. It's like, wait, what?
So those are your final options then? No change in that?
Halcyon and the Yamat. Absolutely.
I expect my battlecruiser to be delivered within a week.
So, speaking back to modern, and maybe more generally as well, but this is a very... You can come at this question multiple ways, but what challenges have you had to overcome creatively, technically, or otherwise?
That is a very tough question to even start with, but in general, I think just from a team level, the biggest creative problem has been just trying to fit everything in. When Canada Man started this project, I think not even Reach had hit yet. I'm not even sure if Halo Wars had came out. Pretty sure it was just on the other side of 3. Things were a lot smaller then. I think you could, on both, if you had both your hands out, you could count every single ship that has been like, made main appearances. Well, now you have stuff that's appeared for only a page and has been described as like, oh, this thing it helped the entire fleet. So we're like, okay, we need to incorporate that somehow. So fitting everything in has definitely been a creative problem. I touched on this earlier. Leader systems helped out with that as it helps alleviate overlap a bit. It's like now we've got our epochs and our Punics and our Orions and our, well, we used to have Eons.
Athens.
And in the past, there were no carriers. You had your Charon. That was where your troops came from in Halo 3. That's all you needed to know. What are you talking about, carriers? But just creatively getting all that in has definitely been one of the biggest problems. Now, as of technically, I love Sins, but it has aged a fair bit. It has aged well, but as that goes, there are still some things that I'd love to do that I honestly just, I have not been able to do. I think the other programmers would agree with me on that. Lavo, Echo, Grun, Church. Tons of cool stuff in Halo that we just kind of have to go, sorry guys, not really in the cards at the moment. But I will say that Ironclad has been really helpful in giving in some, well, really helpful as of late, even, in just giving out some new tools that have let us do some things we want, like a glassing. Covenant will be able to glass stuff. Think we're going to be able to get that into the next update. I'm not entirely sure, but slow work in progress. Going well, though. Idio, if you have anything to throw in with there.
It is a hard one. I obviously Cole just touched on probably the biggest one. Halo is big now. We're talking, you know, there's the games, there's the books, there's the comics, there's the shows, and then there's just the random tidbits of lore that's thrown at us, like arbitrarily, weekly basis. Thank you, Grim. But there's a ton of great lore, and like we have to pull, we're real sticklers for that stuff. And we try to keep everything as lore accurate as possible, and you know, that can come into play when implementing shifts and gameplay, and we have to sometimes make minor changes here or there, and you know, it's always hard to do that. And then you have the variations of shifts and how do you implement those. It definitely gets hard, but one of the big things I think we do well actually is iteration on SOTP. You know, it is still a challenge. Is you know the levels of iteration that we go through. You know, we have a full testing team. We have you know the full dev team. There's a lot of people on our project, and when you kind of look at it like that, you know, making sure that everybody's opinions are kind of validated and looked at and communicated well, and we're able to look at everything. It is a challenge, you know, but we're able to get a lot of really great iterative design in. You know, we can take something and say, you know what, this isn't so good, and we end up delivering something that's significantly better to our fan base. We really strive to provide the fans with, you know, what they want and something that we think is cool, right? We don't go in creating anything that we don't think is cool, fun to play with, which is sorry everybody, we're taking so long to come out with a release. There's a lot of changes in our internal build, and, you know, it's a continuation of, you know,
wish you guys could see everything in there right now. It's a terrifying mod.
Yeah, so but otherwise, yeah, those are the biggest challenges. I think they're fun though. It's fun to get past.
Okay. So I nearly chucked it earlier. So next question. Well, I could also ask like, what's the proudest moment? Maybe with that in mind.
Proudest moment?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a real doozy. There is so much we've done that I have many. I have a feeling this next release might take the throne for this one, but for right now, it's probably going to be when 343 threw us into their cannon fodder post.
Yeah.
That would have to be it. That was, what, back in 2016? Early, yeah. Late, something like that.
It was a couple of years ago.
Yeah. That was, like, the culmination of the past however many years we'd worked on it at that point. Like, oh, they've noticed us at long last. And
it's definitely really interesting. Because it was almost like a paradigm shift with 343 and Microsoft at the time. Because previously at that point, they hadn't really called attention to any mods, really, within any of their game communities. Gears of War, Halo, you know, any of them. And so it was like, it was interesting being like the first real mod project that had been around, really established itself for such a long time to the point where they were comfortable with recognizing the fact that our project existed. And it really acknowledged the fact that, like, you know, a lot of work, so many people have been involved with SOTP over the years, that it really acknowledged the fact that it validated a lot of that work that people put in. I would say that's, I would agree.
Even ever since then, we've had a much more open dialogue with 343. Like, I think we've gotten mentions at much more recently, I believe. I think some of the leader portrait art that I whipped up, we got thrown in with. So that was kind of like, okay, we had segued out of the niche and we were now kind of in there with the main community. It was very, yeah, very sweet, very savory.
Thank you.
Terrible adjectives, but
yes, please stop. also let the yeah, it's fine. Like you recognize us for a long time. Like, it's Thief of Thief who really want to. It's fine.
Well, think about it like this. This isn't really a jab at Microsoft or anybody, but the only other time that a Halo project, a mod project, was recognized by Microsoft was when it was shut down. Mm. I'm talking back in the day, Halo Gen. Rest in peace.
Ye olden times right there.
Right.
We have a vigil every year. No. But, you know, being able to be that, like, project that kind of led the way for so many other mod projects for Halo to kind of be recognized, IO1 out there, Project Contingency, all these amazing other teams as well. You know, they've done their own work that's all been validated just as equally as ours. They're all fantastic. You know, I would say definitely. Proudest moment, for sure.
Okay. So, next question. Any special requests for the future of modding games, Sims or otherwise?
Does not compute.
I think you mentioned it earlier about tools.
Yeah. Hey, man, I was going to say Sims 2, but thank you.
That would be the ideal.
A lot of games, you know, I've been modding games for forever, and whenever a studio has their own proprietary tech, it's always fun to mess around with games. But sometimes games don't have mod tools. Please, developers, I beg of you, if you want to support modders and you want to support, like, just free, unadulterated creativity within your engines and on your games, you want to support that creativity, by God, give us mod tools. Like, good one. Like, develop them. It's an extra tidbit of work, but it pays off so well. Like, you end up with generations of additional work on your game, and it, you know, it adds so much. Sins is such a great game because they support modders, and there's so much awesome, amazing creativity in all the projects involved.
100%.
And there's only a few mod tools. We need more. Please.
So, imagine I just said exactly what Idio said, like, exactly the same way, but just louder, and that's what I'd say. So,
just louder.
Modding tools would be very useful, because jumping into other games can be kind of difficult. I've tried to poke into Stellaris a little bit, and it's scared me away several times. I did notice you mentioned Sins. If I were to say one thing in particular on that, one tiny corner, just maybe opening up research trees a little bit. That would really help with.
Let us cap the number of certain ships. No.
Actually, that, but also another thing that I have wanted for years, and I could probably redo the entire balance again if I could get to do this, is just be able to adjust how many capital ship slots a ship costs. Like, the things I'd do, the things I would do. A lot of people wouldn't like them. A lot of people would, but...
Update delayed another 2 years?
No!
Maybe.
What was the issue with that? You released this, like, oh no, I'm going to delay everything again now.
Ironclad EXE is stop working.
Okay. Yeah, so is there any other things you want to highlight or discuss per se this interview?
Hey, we're working hard at getting SOTP out. We do have an internal deadline. We won't quite say that yet publicly, but there's a lot of stuff that we're working on. The leader system that we talked about here, we have a public post on our ModDB that talks about it. And there's a lot more stuff. There's so much that we want to do and showcase, and you'll be seeing more of that over the coming weeks. Also art. Just a ton of new art. You don't even know.
The article that went up the other day, it's mentioned in there, but I'll mention it again. We are trying to be a lot more regular with our dev posts. There should be another one going up within the next week or two.
Talking about sound.
Yes, Mr. Space Bat, one of our best team members that have not really gotten to see full light of day quite yet. I think you guys will like that read quite a bit. He's doing a lot of good stuff.
Right, and with that in mind, do you want to drop any hints of well, not hints, but places where to find you, what to keep an eye on, etc.?
ModDB, definitely. We're active on ModdDB. We've got stuff on Facebook. Got a Twitter page. Look us up. Hey, how about you join our Discord server?
Oh, no one join that. Just ignore him.
You could either join our main Discord server or our other weird ones. No. Definitely
no. No.
What?
Join our server.
What?
Come on.
This is the first time hearing of this.
We can't. We're not bringing up in here. I mean, our Discord server is very active. We do community events. We try to keep an active community and lots of Halo nerds. Like, lots of Halo nerds.
I will also say that in the Discord server that you are probably going to get to see some things that otherwise you would not see elsewhere. It is a personal habit of everyone in the team to leak things into general. I am guilty of it. Mal is guilty of it. It's all good, but you will see things that other people can't get to see, so you should come hang out and say hi, because you get the goodies.
Sounds like a warning to me.
Have you ever seen a Paris with breaknecks attached to it? No?
Breakwater?
No, it's
yeah, breaknecks.
Okay, yeah. So wrapping this up now, I think, before you go completely off the rail.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing the interview, Ideo and Cole, of the Sins of the Prophets mod for Sins of Empire Rebellion. And we will see you guys later.
Bye.
Everyone go check their pages out and don't join the Discord server because it's weird. Bye.
Dude, no.